The book of Romans and chapter 1, maybe a Bible near you there in the pew if you don't have one, but I'm just going to read a few verses. Romans chapter 1, we've been thinking of the Apostle Paul, the man who hated the very name of Jesus, and yet he came and met Christ on the road to Damascus. His life was changed. And in verse 14 of Romans chapter 1, with three great statements, I am. Romans chapter 1, 14, I am debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Let's just bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we pray that thou would help us to understand this scripture. Bless us, we pray, through it. May the Lord Jesus Christ be exalted. May we be drawn to Christ. May all of us leave this meeting knowing that our sins are blotted out and the burden is lifted. So bless us, we pray now, in our Saviour's name. Amen. We looked a couple of weeks ago at the great statement, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You know, Paul was mocked for preaching the gospel. He was mobbed in one place. In fact, he was martyred for preaching the gospel. But he said, I'm not ashamed of it. Not ashamed. And then last time we spoke in the words, I am ready. He was ready to speak for Christ. He was ready to sacrifice for Christ and to serve Christ. Tonight I want to take those great words that start this passage. I am a debtor. I am a debtor. Now, we think about debts. Debt is a major problem in our society. I remember reading some years ago, the United Kingdom has the highest credit card debt of any country in Western Europe. And many a family has great debt. It's a major problem. And of course, as I sometimes say at marriages, part of that problem of debt is because too many people are buying things they don't need with money they don't have, in order to impress people they don't even like. Did you hear that? Yeah. Isn't that the problem? Sometimes I remember hearing an American preacher, sometimes I quoted, nowadays marriage, the experts say that the greatest problem in marriage breakups is debt. Debt. There's a little poem in America. Theirs was a perfect marriage, but for one feminine flaw. He was quick in the deposit, but she was faster on the draw. And sadly, that's, well, men can spend a lot too. Better not just blame the ladies. But debt is no laughing matter for many. There's many a person has been destroyed with debt. There's many a home has been wrecked with debt. There's many a person can't sleep at night because of debt. It's always upon their mind. It can lead to individuals losing their mind, to suicides, to robberies, even to murder. The problem of debt. And I could speak about that. I've spoken about it before. And the Bible is much. Do you know the Bible is over 2,000 verses to do with money? It's not my place this evening to talk about practical aspects of money. But it may surprise you to know what the Bible does say about money. And about the danger of getting into debt. And yet you still see these television adverts. I laugh at them, as all I say practically about it. There's one, I don't know if they still have it, and they're on the phone, the husband, oh yes, they're going to give us so many £1,000 of a loan. And he goes to the wife, yo, and we'll buy a car with it as well. There's nothing about having to pay it back. And you look at the figures of interest, and you say, have they no sense? What they have to pay back? Thousands more? And we live in a society where I think people like that, companies and all, have an awful responsibility of getting young couples into debt. But anyway, debt. You know it's a big problem. Now, what does Paul mean when he says, I am a debtor? He does not mean that he owes people money. He's not talking about financial debt. He's talking about spiritual debts. You see, you may be clear with the bank and with people you've owed money, it may be all clear. But yet you could have debts tonight. Now, Paul was already clear of the greatest debt that he had. It was clear that debt had been paid. What am I talking about? The debt of a sin. Paul, being a Jew, he knew about the Ten Commandments, the law. And over in the book of Galatians, he said that anyone who knows the law, you're a debtor to keep the whole law. And you and I, as human beings, we are in debt to God's Ten Commandments. We've a debt because God is our Creator. We've a debt. When God says, thou shalt not, of course he's saying, don't hurt yourself. And then he's saying, thou shalt. Well, we are a debtor to keep that. But of course, we've all broken the law, every one of us. And the law says, if you offend on one point, one sin in all your life, just one. And who would dare to say, I've never sinned in word, thought, or action. One sin, well then we are a debtor to pay for that sin. And you know what the law demands? The law demands pay up. And you know what the payment is? Eternity in the place that the Lord Jesus Christ referred to as hell. That's what our sins deserve. Now God is not cruel. He's a God of love. We sang tonight, God loved the world of sinners lost. But because God is so good, because he is righteous and holy, he must punish sin. The law's demands must be satisfied. And the law, as it were, puts out the bill and says, pay up. And Paul knew that. Do you know that? Do you realize you have a debt of sin? Oftentimes, we as people think we're doing pretty well. But then when the word of God comes and says, no, God requires a payment for all our sins. Times we're angry, things we've done, things we've left undone. There is a great debt, but Paul knew that that debt had gone. And that's what he talks about in the book of Romans from now on, from chapter 4 actually. He goes on to say how we're all guilty. The first three chapters says, look, everybody's a debt. Irreligious, religious, moral, immoral, Jew, Gentile, everybody. We're all under the debt of sin, and we can't pay it. We can't pay the debt. Even of one sin. But then he goes on to talk about a great word, justification. We're declared righteous. Why? Because God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the great gospel message is that God the Son came into the world and he kept the law perfectly that we could never keep. And then there on Calvary's cross, all that debt was against my name. Ron Johnson, you deserve eternity in hell. That's the demand. Pay up, forever, separated from God. But you know what the Lord Jesus Christ, in those hours of darkness, he suffered not only at the hands of men, but there in those hours of darkness, he said, as it were, to the Father, I'll take men and women's sins. I'll take their debt. Let me pay it. Let me pay it. And that's what he did on the cross. That's what the gospel's all about. That's what his death means. He paid the debt. Do you know anything about that? Have you trusted Christ? Have you accepted him as Savior? Because when you trust him and say, I'm a debtor, I can do nothing to take away my sins, and I feel that awful weight of the debt upon my conscience, but Jesus Christ paid it all. That's what we sang about tonight. He paid it all. I love the story of the Tsar Nicholas of Russia. He was a strange character many, many years ago in Russia. He loved to put on ordinary army clothes at night and walk around the barracks incognito just to see what was going on. And one night, as he walked around the barracks, he noticed a light under the paymaster's room. He thought, well, that's strange. Hope nobody's stealing. And he opened the door, and there was a man slumped over the desk, falling asleep. He went over to see what was he doing, because there was some bag of money there. Is it stealing or what? And he realized in a few moments, because there were the ledger. It was an accountant, an army officer, but someone who looked after money and so on, paymasters they call it in the army. And he looked down and he saw that the ledger didn't balance. Didn't take him just a moment to see that. What had happened was, it was obvious that man had been trying to count up money. Obviously, he had been taking some. He had been stealing some. He put down his debts, gambling debts and other debts. And then, as he looked at it, the figures, and he wrote on it in his handwriting, who can pay such a debt? Who can pay such a debt? And there was a revolver sitting
Tsar Nicholas realized this officer's been gambling. He's got into debt, and he's realized he can't pay back the money. His first reaction was, have him arrested, have him punished. He's stolen from the army, he needs to be punished. And then he realized that this officer was the son of a very close friend who had served him well. You know what he did? He dipped the quill in ink. Remember what it said on it, the man had written? Who can pay such a great debt? And he just wrote one word, Nicholas, his name. The man woke up, reached for the gun to blow his brains out, and he looked, what's that? Who can pay such a great debt, Nicholas? He went quickly and searched through papers, and he had a paper with the Tsar's signature. It's his signature. And in the morning, bags of money arrived from the Tsar to pay off the debt and to put the money back into the treasury. It's only a story. It's a true story, by the way, an anecdote about Tsar Nicholas of Russia. Oh, but listen, in a far, 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 far greater measure, we had a great debt that no human being could ever pay. Who can pay the debt of sin? You see, all eternity in hell can never really pay it off, because it never finishes. But thank God, the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary paid the debt of sin. And when you trust Christ as your Savior, acknowledge that you're in debt, acknowledge you're a sinner, confess your sin. Thank God, it's as if God lifts the pain. And with the rich red blood of His Son shed at Calvary, He'll write across the ledger of your sins, paid in full by Jesus Christ. The sins are blotted out. That's what justification means. And there's those in this meeting who can say, that's happened to me. Not because we're any better than anybody else, we're just sinners. But oh, thank God He has helped us, enabled us to see that Christ died for people like us. And His blood can cleanse from every sin. And now we know that on the great judgment day, there's no record against us because the blood of Christ has blotted it out. Thank God Christ has paid our sins. You know, it's wonderful to know your debts are paid. It's wonderful to know that you'll never be brought up in court for your debts. That's a great thing. Great thing to know you'll never be brought up in court for financial debts. It's a far greater thing to know you'll never be brought up in the court of heaven for the debt of sin. I used this illustration. Some of you used the daily reading book, A Word in Season. I did 30 devotionals on the blood some years ago, the blood of Christ, and one of the ones I used. So if you use it, you know this story I used. And it was many years ago when we were just back from Papua New Guinea starting off the ministry. We got one of those red bills. Now, don't say you ever got them, but... And it said, if you don't pay this coal bill, we're taking you to court. The bill has been outstanding. We thought, oh dear, that'll look good in the paper, won't it? Local Free Presbyterian minister up in court, not paying his bills. But don't worry, don't worry. We ransacked the drawers, and we found the coal bill. And you know what it said upon it? Paid in full. See when we found it? I went down to Kelly's Coal Yard in Carrickfergus. I tell you, I was skipping along. There's the bill. Oh, yes, you haven't paid, and we're going to have to take you to... Oh, but I have paid it. Sorry, I didn't put the bill. I said, I have paid it. No, no. No, no, you haven't. There's the account. What had happened is, my name's Johnston with an E, and they put two accounts, one with the E and one without. I said, well, look, there's your stamp. Oh, we're so sorry. It's the computer. It's great to have computers today. You can blame the computer. We're sorry. Oh, you've paid. May I tell you, doesn't it feel great to have your debts paid? The greatest joy in this world is to know that before Almighty God, your sin's debt is gone. Oh, I wish I had the eloquence tonight to say the joy that there is. And thank God we're not ashamed of the gospel and we're ready to preach the gospel, because in the gospel you can look the biggest sinner in the face. The one who society would say is away down in sin, and they're in the depth of sin, no matter what they've done, morally or whatever, and we can tell them, if you look to the Lord Jesus Christ, all your sins will be paid and blotted out. And then we can say to those religious people, say, well, I'm not like those other people, I'm not a sinner. We can say, pardon me, but you are. Because God sees the sins of pride. God sees the those sins that are hidden in the heart, and we all have sinned, and you need to have those sins, because one sin will keep you out to heaven. Now, Paul had the greatest debt paid, but just for a few moments, and not be long, there are three debts Paul had, he still had. That debt is paid, but I want you to tell about them very, very quickly, what they are. Thank God, my sin, know the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. But we sang tonight a hymn. Jesus paid it all to take away my debt. All to him I owe. See the obligation? Jesus paid my debt. I'm clear of the debt of sin, but now I owe him my love and my service. He owed the Savior. Paul owed the Savior. This year marks the centenary of the formation of the Royal Air Force. Now, there were planes in the war before that, in the First World War, but in 1918 it was formed into what we know as the RAF. Now, you know that if you love history, you'll know that in the 20th of August 1940, Winston Churchill, after the Battle of Britain, he made one of his famous statements, and he said about the men of the Royal Air Force, "Never was so much owed by so many to so few." Those brave pilots who give their lives. Never in the course of history has so much been owed by so many to so few. Well, I can give a greater statement than that. Never in the course of history has so much been owed by so many to one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, listen, he has saved us. Surely we owe him our love. We owe him our love. Didn't Paul say in 1 Corinthians 6, "I'm bought with a price, therefore I'm not my own. I belong to Christ." Now, this is willingly. This isn't in order to be saved. Paul said, "I'm a bond slave." He wasn't serving God to try and get any of his sins taken away. What he's saying is, the Lord has saved me, therefore I owe him everything. And I want to give him my life. That's what he means. Here's a verse I want to read you in Romans 8. This is the verse for this first point. Romans 8, verse 1. "There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." That's somebody who's trusted Christ as Savior. You'll never be condemned. You may condemn yourself. Not what it ought to be. We always do that. But God will never condemn us. God will never condemn us. But look at verse 12. "Therefore, brethren, because the Lord has died for us and saved us and paid for our sins..." Verse 12, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh to live after the flesh." See what it says there? "But if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Just briefly, here's what he's saying. He's saying, look, I'm free from debt. There'll be no condemnation. Therefore, I don't live the way I used to live. I don't live the natural fleshly life anymore. I live for Christ. The Spirit of God now directs me. I come to the Word of God and I say, what's the Spirit of God telling me how I should live? And that way I used to live for myself, for sin, I don't do that anymore. Why? I don't owe anything to that old sinful life. I owe it all to Christ. In other words, he's saying, because the Savior has pardoned me of my sin, I owe him to live a life of holiness. That's the motivation to live a holy life, to please the Lord. I'll not go and do that thing because I don't want to grieve the Savior who died for me. That's what holiness is all about. Any other motive of holiness is spurious, it's false. It's not trying to... Salvation is not some penance you pay. I'll not do this. And some people think Christian will not go there. I'll not do, in order to try and get our sins taken away. No, 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 no. A true believer, our sins are taken away by the blood of Christ, and therefore we desire. I want to please him. I owe him everything. Heaven. Never be in hell. Blessings. Oh, I want to live a holy life for him. So we owe the Saviour. We're debtors to the Saviour. But then we're debtor to fellow believers, to the saints. Paul talked over in Revelation 12 and verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another, preferring one another, distributing to the necessity of saints. What does he mean? He means, I've a debt to fellow Christians. They're my brothers and sisters in Christ, and they've helped me in my labors. And we think of the legacy that we have. Those of you who know Christ, there's a great legacy. Did somebody pray for you? Did somebody teach you the word of God? What a legacy. What a legacy. We have a legacy with this book. You think of the martyrs who laid down their life and were burnt at the stake so that we could have a Bible. And there were. There were people burnt at the stake so that we could have the Bible. There was a time in our land some hundreds of years ago you weren't allowed to own a Bible. Thank God for the legacy. Thank God for Christians. But the verse I'm after especially is in Romans 13 and verse 8. All these are in the book of Romans. You know what he says? He talks about financial debt, Romans 13 and 8. Owe no man anything. Now, it's not saying it's wrong to take a mortgage or wrong to take a loan. But the idea is if you're refusing to pay it back and you're not making an effort, of course that is wrong. So he brings that in, but then he changes it. But to love one another, to love one another. He's saying, look, don't be owing financially. In other words, pay up your debts that you owe people financially, but you owe a debt of love to fellow Christians. We have a debt to fellow believers. Paul wrote about fellow laborers, fellow saints, fellow soldiers in the battle. We're a team, and we owe it to each other. He talks in Romans 12 about different gifts. We're all given a gift. Every Christian has a gift. And it is to profit the whole church, the whole body of Christ, to help one another. That's our duty as Christians. We owe a debt of love to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And in the book of Acts, Paul had a team with him. We're part of a team. We're part of a team. You know, if you've ever played a team sport, do you know what's one of the worst things? If there's somebody in your team isn't really trying. Well, you feel like saying, what are you doing? Get away off. You're allowed substitutes today so you can get them off. When we were in missionary training, my wife talked a bit about it last week. Do you know in the boot camp, and there were some in their 40s and right down, different ages, actually part of the training, yes, with the study and learn and so on, but they actually had us go out sometimes playing volleyball or football. You say, what, in missionary training? Yes. You know what the leader said? It's good to get the missionary candidates to play together in a team to see how they get on. Because if you can't give your all to even a sports team, how are you going to give your all on the mission field to the missionary team? And there is a, I'll not go on to that, but I mean, I could talk to you about that. There is a correlation with that. Oh, I just don't care. Sure, I'll not put any effort in. Sure, it's only, listen, I'm part of a team. We'll do the best for the team. Those other members are relying upon me to play my part. That's what Paul means. I'm a debtor to my fellow believers. We've a debt to each other as Christians. To pray for one another. To bear one another's burdens. To weep with those that weep. To rejoice with those that rejoice. Yes, a debt to the Saviour. He's loved me so much. A debt to fellow Christians. They're my brothers and sisters in the same family. But in Romans 1:14, we're back where we started. I'm a debtor to who? And he lists all these different people. What he means, I'm a debtor to those that don't know Christ as Savior. I used to be there. I was in their shoes. I was fast going to hell, but the Lord stopped me on the road to Damascus. And I'm a debtor. I need to get the gospel out. And therefore, I am ready to come and preach to you in Rome, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. You see what he's saying? I have a debt. I have a debt. A debt to preach the gospel. Now, it's an obligation. That's what the word actually sometimes translated, an obligation. You see, you meet a beggar in the street, you sometimes see them begging. Well, it's optional if you give them something, a coin or whatever, or something, or buy them. It's optional. You're not required to. But if the bailiff comes and says, listen, we're taking all your belongings out of your house unless you pay this bill, that's an obligation. That's not optional. Paul says, it's not optional with me to preach the gospel. I'm obligated. I'm obligated to tell all different types of people how the Lord Jesus Christ saves. And that's why he said later, I strive to preach the gospel. He said in another place, we preach warning every man. He said in the book of Acts, by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone. It's sad when you see on the news house fires. There seem to be a lot of them recently. And you hear of a family burnt to death in a house, the fire, and you say, how sad, how sad. Of course, some of you were firemen. Well, I know Jim was. Billy Glenn, too, was a fireman. He's away today. But some I know friends served in the fire service to rescue. But you may not be a fireman, and you say to yourself, oh, so sad, a family killed in a fire. But if you're going to, say you start work really early, and you're walking down in the center of the town, and you look over and you see smoke, and you see flames coming out of a house, oh, that's sad. I'll just go on. No, no. You're obligated to shout and see if the family are out. You're obligated to dial 999. You've an obligation. You've a responsibility. And Paul pictured men and women as lost, as lost. He knew the Old Testament, the book of Ezekiel and in Isaiah, that you're a watchman. And it says if the watchman doesn't do his duty, watchmen were men that were in the walls of the city and looked out for the enemy coming. And they would give a warning if they were coming. He said if a watchman doesn't warn, the blood of the people will be in his hand. You see, in the army, you could be shot. Used to be anyway, if a sentry went to sleep and the enemy sneaked into the camp and murdered and killed or shot, slept on your duty and your watch. You're responsible for the deaths. And Paul had that in mind. How do I know? Because in the book of Acts 20, he spoke to the Ephesian elders, and you know what he said? I was with you 3.5 years, and I am clear of the blood of all men. What did he mean? I've paid my debt to those unsaved in Ephesus, because I did everything I could as the Holy Spirit gave me opportunity to tell men and women that there's a debt of sin and the only way to be free from it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul rejoiced that he was clear. I am a debtor. I am ready. I am not ashamed. You know, it struck me in those, it's a personal responsibility. Paul didn't write, all you Christians have a debt, which is true, we do. You have a debt, I have a debt. If you know Christ as Savior, these three debts, a debt to the Savior, a debt to fellow saints or believers, a debt to the unsaved, the sinner. But he says, See, it's a personal choice. We have to face up. In other words, as we finish and just sing a few verses of him, get all the debts out in front of you. Just imagine there's a table and you're putting out all the debts that you have. Can you pay? Are you ready to pay them? Maybe you say, but I'm not able to pay them. Well, remember the story in the Old Testament in 2 Kings of a woman who was a widow? And her creditors were calling for her to pay up and she had no money to pay. And the prophet Elisha came. Do you know what he said? Go pay your debts. But if nothing to pay with, what do you have in the house? A flask of oil. Well, go get that little flask of oil. And borrow containers from your neighbors. And get all your own containers, pots, pans, everything. And she kept pouring it out. You know what happened as she poured it out? It kept running. It was a miracle. And she filled up this pot and that pot and the other pot. And she kept, as they kept getting the containers, she kept filling them up. You know the story, Prophet Elisha? Go sell the oil. Pay your debt. What's that all about? It's an Old Testament story. You know what it is? Lord, I want to pay my debts, but I've no ability, I've no talents. I'm not able. What do you have? Well, if you know Christ as your Savior or the Holy Spirit, when you trust Christ as Savior, how do we live the Christian life? I could never keep it. The Holy Spirit comes to live within you. What do we have? A person. And if we trust him, he'll give us the power to pay our debts. Are you ready to pay your debts? Do you have a debt of sin tonight? Have you ever had the debt of sin taken away? Oh, come to Christ and trust him tonight. If you do know Christ as Savior and you can say, yes, my sins have been taken away. Oh, remember, we have debts that we ought to pay out of love to the Savior to live that holy life. Out of love to fellow Christians to support one another. Out of love to those that don't know Christ, we've a debt to tell them of the gospel because they are in danger.